Hey guys, this is Pastor James from Graham Chapel. As many of you know, we have canceled all services and activities for our church until the first Sunday in April due to the COVID-19 strand of the coronavirus. Because of those cancellations, you're listening to the first Bible study podcast that we have ever done. Before we get started, I would like to spend a few moments talking about our decision as a church to cancel all of Graham Chapel's activities. The elders of our church, also known as the local board of administration, want you all to know that we did not make this decision lightly, nor did we make it out of fear. The decision is merely out of respect to our government, as well as taking preventative measures to ensure the health and safety of our congregation. We have the utmost faith in Jesus Christ and in our Heavenly Father to protect us. However, there were several reasons that brought us to making this decision for our congregation. The first of those reasons is that we try to model ourselves after significant examples of faith found in the Bible. I think of Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were about to be cast into the furnace by King Nebuchadnezzar. Their response was one of practicality and extreme faith. As they said, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up." This is an amazing response from three very young men. First of all, they acknowledge and fully believe in God's ability to save, but are fully aware that God may choose not to rescue them because God's will doesn't always align with what we want. Therefore, we as leaders of the church who are entrusted to care for our congregation believe that God has the ability to protect and preserve our people. But, at the same time, God may very well choose not to spare some of us from the COVID-19 strand of the coronavirus. The second reason is that we have a large population of senior citizens, as well as others who have pre-existing health conditions. This puts them at a higher risk of the COVID-19 strand of the coronavirus, having lethal effects on them. We love everyone who is a part of our church and simply want the best for them. We feel that this is the best way to protect them. The third reason is that we want to be good citizens. The CDC, which stands for Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, and our government officials have asked the American people to take extra measures to prevent the spreading of the COVID-19 strand of the coronavirus. One of these measures is to stop all meetings of more than 50 people. Romans 13 verses 1 through 2 says, "Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished." We as leaders feel that it is our duty to set a godly example and be obedient to what our government leaders are asking us to do. Our goal is to help bring a resolution to this problem, not to prolong it. A fourth reason is that we have always followed Spartanburg County School District 2's ruling on weather cancellations and other various decisions. As our local school district has decided to shut school down until the beginning of April, we felt that it was wise for us to follow in suit. We love all of you. You are being prayed for daily. Our sermons and Bible studies are being posted on our website, which you can access online or through the podcast app. Different ways that we can begin to minister to all of you are being looked at. We are honestly excited to see how God can use the church during this time without the ability to meet at our location. This could perhaps be the most effective time in our church's history. As work may be uncertain for some of you, we understand that finances may be strained over the next few weeks. Please use wisdom and be obedient in your convictions in giving to the body of Christ. Do not feel obligated to give in such a way that would put your family in financial strain. However, we are encouraging people to still be faithful in their giving to the Lord during this time if you are able. If you are blessed with finances, your faithfulness in giving may help us as a church to bless others who are hurting. So, if you are able, we encourage you to give. You can do this in one of two ways. You can participate in online giving at your convenience by downloading the Tithely app on your phone, or visit our church website at gcwesleyan.org and click Give. There's also an option to cover the fees the church is charged, and if you can cover those for the church, please do so. You are still allowed to deduct the full amount on your taxes. You can also mail in your giving to the church. You can write a check or put your money in an envelope and mail it to the church at our post office box 129 Mayo, South Carolina, zip code 29368. Again, we want to encourage all of you during this time. There is no need to panic or spread fear. All of these decisions are precautionary measures. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. We are simply setting an example for all people in our community to be humble, submissive, and loving. Our goal at Graham Chapel is not to just preach about Jesus, but to live like Him so that we can ask everyone to follow our example. Look for postings on our website and social media venues. We are excited to stay in communication with you over the next few weeks. God has a plan for all of this. Only time will tell how His name will be glorified through it all. Now let's proceed with our Bible study. If you have been in attendance on Wednesday nights, you know that we have spent over a year and a half going through the book of Genesis verse by verse and having in-depth discussions on the entire book. I personally prefer interactive studies where people can participate and ask questions when things are fresh on their mind. However, because we are not meeting together, this Bible study will be more of a lecture style. For the sake of those who have already studied Genesis for a year and a half at Graham, we are starting in the book of Exodus tonight, but in the first podcast, we will not be reading scripture. I want to give some important background information on the entire book of Exodus because it is very important to grasp the complete understanding of any writing when you don't know what the purpose or the theme of the book is. So let's do the background work now so that when we start reading the verses, they will help us to not only make sense of the book of Exodus, but to understand how Exodus will impact every book of the Bible that follows it. The most valuable piece of advice that I can give you about reading the Bible is to understand that every book in the Bible goes together perfectly. They seem to be individual books at first, but they are all very much connected. Always remember that Jesus is the ultimate theme of the Bible. There are thousands of connections, parallels, repetitive circumstances, repetitive numbers, and etc. But Jesus is the ultimate common theme. Jesus is the glue that holds these pages together, and Jesus is found on every page from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22. Okay, let's talk about Exodus. When you look at the books of Exodus and how it follows the book of Genesis, you can compare Genesis to the Old Testament and Exodus to the New Testament. Genesis tells of what creation and man was intended for. It tells of man's failure. Genesis is sometimes depressing to read because we see a lot of failure in the book of Genesis. You see how fast sin progresses and all the problems that sin causes in the world. Exodus, however, is an exciting book. Yes, the Israelites start off in bondage, but it's only a short portion of the reading. Other than the Gospel's account of Jesus going around and performing miracles, the book of Exodus displays God's power and His redemption more than any other book in Scripture. Israel was in bondage, but God came down and rescued them. This is very similar to the story of Christ. On that note, there are many things in the Bible that seem repetitive. I believe that this is one of the ways that God gives insight as to what will happen in future times. Exodus is a Greek word which means way out. And God is the way out not only for the Israelites, but He is the way out for us today. God is also not only the way out of physical bondage, but also the spiritual bondage. And the spiritual bondage is more important than the physical bondage is. That's very important for us to remember. Now, since Genesis is a Greek word that means origins, it is simply the beginning of this great story of redemption that is themed throughout the entire Bible. Now, the story of sin, bondage, and redemption is a common theme found in many parts of the Bible in various circumstances. As I said before, I believe that God allowed things to be repetitive so that people could learn from the past and look forward to what would happen in the future. As a result, there are many parallels that you see from the book of Exodus and the entire New Testament. Some of these parallels are bondage being paralleled to sin, Moses being paralleled to Jesus, the Exodus being paralleled to salvation, and the Promised Land being paralleled to heaven. There are a lot of other parallels with the 10 plagues and the Passover and the law that was given, the wilderness journey, and the tabernacle which is built for worship. We will talk about all these parallels when we read them in Exodus at a later time. Let's talk about some common misconceptions really quick about the book of Exodus. One is that the Israelites spent 400 years in slavery. This is false. This idea is derived from Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, where God said, "You can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land where they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. This verse seems very straightforward and would confuse anyone who just reads scripture at face value. However, if you research all the scriptures in the Bible, you will find that other verses clearly state this is not the case. We must remember that we are humans and we can interpret something that someone else wrote completely different from how they meant it. The best example on this is texting. There have been so many times where I have misinterpreted a message from someone, and there's been many times where others have misinterpreted messages from me. It happens. We're humans. Fortunately, we are able to speak to one another and clear up these misunderstandings. Always remember to keep an open mind as to what passages of Scripture mean or what they are saying. We don't always know just by reading them in that moment. For example, if you look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul writes, "The agreement between God and Abraham could not be canceled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses." Now, if you have never done any type of biblical research, basically I'm speaking Chinese to you right now. But what I want you to know is that we have been conditioned to interpret literature in a certain way due to most of our Western educations. From the way that we interpret things, these two verses are suggesting two very different things. But in the way that a Hebrew person would write them and the way that they would interpret them actually suggests the same thing. It is understood among the Hebrew people that when God called Abraham to leave his home in Genesis chapter 12, that this is when the 400 years of being a stranger actually begin. We don't see that because we weren't given the background information on it. But anyone who grew up in that culture, anyone who had heard the oral traditions passed down from generation to generation, would have had a clear grasp of this. This is why there are not a lot of details in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis focuses on a few major characters with significant spiritual events and interventions from God. So to make a long story short, the Israelites actually spent less than 150 years in slavery in Egypt. One of the best elders of our church brought me a chart which explains this very well. I'm going to post it on our church website so that you will have access to it. And just make sure that you take time to look at this chart and stay with it. It's a little hard to read at first, but if you take the time and keep looking at it carefully and read everything, it will make sense to you eventually. This explains the timeline of the call of Abraham leading up to the point where God rescues the people of Israel out of Egypt. Another common misconception in the timeline of Exodus is the length of the plagues. So many times when we read scriptures, we're only getting a highlighted version of significant events. Remember, biblical writings always focus on the spiritual aspects and sometimes leave out what we think are really important details. An example of that is the concept of time. Because we are Western educated people, time is of the utmost importance to us. Months, days, years, and specific hours, minutes, and seconds are all part of what makes something credible in our culture. It was not so for the Hebrew people. The time something happened was of very little significance. However, they always named the location of the event. What happened and where it happened was of the utmost importance, and God was of the utmost importance. So you always see where the individual or people were, along with what God did, and how the people responded to what God did. Very rarely are dates and times mentioned in Old Testament scriptures. Therefore, when you read about the plagues, you are only reading about the location, what God did, and how the Egyptians responded to that. Because biblical scholars are able to do further research, most of them believe that the plagues lasted at least 7 months and maybe even up to a year's time. So while the plagues seemed to happen very quickly, this would have been a long, drawn-out, and painful experience for the people of Egypt. One last misconception is that the Israelites were the ones who built the pyramids since they were slaves in Egypt. This is false. The Giza pyramids were built between 2589 and 2504 BC. This is more than 1,000 years before the people of Israel ever entered Egypt. Okay, let's go back to Genesis for a second. I know we keep talking about Genesis, but again, you can't understand Exodus without understanding Genesis. Genesis is a family history. As soon as God calls Abraham in chapter 12, the rest of the book through chapter 50 focuses on Abraham and his descendants. Remember, Exodus exists because 70 of Abraham's descendants moved to Egypt and dwelt there. Exodus turns into a national history. 70 descendants may have moved to Egypt at the end of Genesis, but it is estimated that over 3 million descendants walked out of Egypt in the Exodus. And that's after an entire generation of males had been wiped out with genocide. Many people try to discredit Israel's slavery. They try to discredit Moses and the plagues, and they try to discredit the Exodus in general, because there is no record in the Egyptian history. But if you know anything about Egyptian history, you know that they only recorded good things. The pharaohs did not want anything negative said about them, so there's very little, if any, failures ever recorded in Egyptian history. So coming into Exodus, the story starts off with listing the sons of Jacob. Again, you must remember that this is the transition from a family history to a nation's history. Then a new pharaoh comes to power who knows nothing of Joseph or what he had done. This is a very significant statement that's listed in Scripture, because Joseph and his family were very much elevated and praised among the Egyptian people. We will spend a lot of time on that in our next Bible study podcast. I encourage you guys to begin reading the book of Exodus and prepare for our discussions over the next several weeks. Let me pray with you before we go. Father God, we just thank you so much for this beautiful day. Lord, you have been good to us and you have blessed us beyond what we deserve. And Jesus, we just ask in your holy name that during this time in our world, when so many people are scared and we're looking at this gloominess of what this virus may hold, God, we just know that your presence is here among us, and God, that you are our protector and you are our salvation. And God, because we have a heavenly home to look forward to, we can live this life with confidence, knowing that no matter what happens now, we have something better on the other side. Jesus, we ask that you would go with us in all that we do. We ask that you would speak into our hearts, that you would help us to set a good example for other people to follow. And Jesus, we just pray that you would help us to represent you well in all we do. Father, thank you again for this time together, and I ask that you would be with us and go with us, and we ask all this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks for tuning in with us, guys. We'll see you next week.